it's one of the things that I'm happy to say that I call my life, and yeah. You know, I love it. Yeah, I'll be in 18 bands as long as it makes me happy, you know. I want to be able to say that I got to do what I got to do in my lifetime.
This is Something from Nothing. Something from Nothing is a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. Each episode features a guest who uses their personal skills and talents to create something from nothing. I'm Justin Lewis. On today's episode, we'll be talking with Luke Taylor. Luke is a local singer-songwriter. We'll be discussing his family influences, how he manages a full schedule being a part of three separate bands, and how each band works just a little bit differently. Well, Luke, how did you get your start in music? What set you on this path to being a musician?
I was 7 years old, and my father's side of the family played music. We always got family reunions, and everyone got together. My dad played drums. My cousin Wally played bass. My uncle Sherman, my grandpa Jack, my aunt Lisa, they all sang and played guitar. And I had a cousin, though. His name's Andy Taylor. One of the best guitar players. I'm telling you, man, that man can well. He reminds me a lot of Vince Gill and his, like, chicken picking style, you know, that that real old country soloing, and I love it. I saw him do the solo to Johnny B. Good, and I was like, man, I want to do that, you know. So for Christmas, Santa Claus brought me a Lotus Stratocaster, and a Lotus is a Fender knockoff. It's like you have Squire, but like Lotus was something you bought at like a German pawn shop, you know, like it was an awful guitar, but I learned, the first song I learned was Sweet Home Alabama. And, because my family played that a lot. And I remember I was the kid in the back while the family was plugged in. My Uncle Sherman would say, just don't plug in, you know, just sit back there and play, you know, try and play the chords. So I would sit back there thinking I was a rock star playing, you know, D, C, and G. And then my grandparents on my mother's side, you know, they listened to a lot of Bob Dylan and James Taylor and Jim Croce and John Prine, and kind of got into that at an early age. And then heavy metal came. But after that, I started listening to Jack Johnson. It was introduced to me by a friend of mine probably when I was a sophomore in high school. And then I was like, oh, right, man. I forgot that there's amazing music out there, and it has a lot more to say, but it sounds prettier and more relaxed. And I just, you know, I think I'm getting to that age where I just want to hear, like, one guitar. You know, so I started writing around then, and then I joined the military. I was in the Navy for 5.5 years, and I was, you know, writing a lot of songs in there. I figured I wanted to be a musician. This is what I want to do. So I got out of the Navy, and I'm going to do it, you know. My father always said you can be broke and happy or rich and miserable. But no, man, Dad, he's so supportive. He actually, you know, whenever he found out this is what I wanted to do, he actually bought the PA that I use. And, like, he was like, you know, I'm making this as an investment in you, you know, because I believe you can do this. And, you know, he wants to help along the way. He's even said after he retires, he wants to drive a tour bus, you know, like he would totally like drive like a bus for us, you know,
and so cool.
Like for any of the bands I'm in, you know, and
so cool.
Yeah. He's a tremendous sound guy. He knows music. He understands music. I mean, he's a musician himself, even though he doesn't say he is. You know, it's just really good to have your dad around, you know, to, you know, make sure you're walking a straight line.
Luke, I don't know if you recall this, but our first meeting was at the Coke plant in the Rotunda. Yeah. I went and I was checking out some local music, and I was enjoying probably a cup of red gray tea from Piper's. Yes. And so, I was just watching you play, and then walk up to you after the fact. And I said, hey, man, I like your music, and I'd like to see if you'd play a gig for me. And at that point, you said yes. I could have, I don't know, said it's in the middle of a cow pasture and no one will be there. And I think you would have agreed to it. But it was the Moonlight Bike Ride. And so I guess at that point in your career, like 3 years ago or whatever that was it kind of a say yes to everything, get your music out there sort of situation for you?
Yeah, it's still kind of a say yes to everything. I just love playing music, you know. So I mean, you could get me wherever and I'll play. So especially the Coke plant. I love the sound in the rotunda and everything, and it sounds really good. So I'd, yeah, definitely still say yes to a lot of things.
All right, so currently you are in three bands, I think. You are in Cut and Jesse's, and you are a member of Leonard the Band and The Living Room. So how do you manage being a member in three bands?
Well, between music and work, I kind of look at it like work. The Cut and Jesse's, you know, my bandmate and that, it's just the two of us, and we live with each other right now. And so it's really easy to get together with that, and it's really fun. Just me and him just sit here and play music, and it doesn't even seem like we're working. And then Leonard the Band, we usually just go out to their spot. Usually at night, everybody has time to do it. And we'll be out there for about 3 hours, and we'll just make some beautiful music. And so it's really fun. In the Living Room, me and a couple of the bandmates will get together separately, you know, and still work on things. We're still trying to find time to get on that, you know, with some of the members' busy schedules and everything. But yeah, it's just, you know, you write a song and it's like, this song sounds good for this band and this song, you know what I'm saying? So it's really fun. Plus I do my solo stuff as well. So, you know, it's a job, man.
Talk about the songwriting process there a little bit more. You've got three bands and solo. How do you kind of figure out, okay, this would be a good one for Leonard the Band, how this would be a good one for Cut and Jesse's? Tell me more about how you kind of come to that.
I've been in the Cut and Jesse's was my first band for when I moved here. So that one, it's, we know what kind of sound we like. We pretty much like, you know, that real good Americana and make it fun and catchy. So, you know, if I have a good catchy Americana sound and song, you know, I'll throw that probably that way. And then Leonard's still new to me writing for that band because it's some really, really complicated stuff, you know, but and it's really groovy and it's kind of a new frontier for me to discover. And then The Living Room, that's kind of, I don't really write a lot to The Living Room unless I'm with members of The Living Room, because you know, we're all completely different tastes and styles, and so it's really a lot easier to, you know, write to that. And then my solo stuff, if it sounds like John Prine or Bob Dylan, I'm gonna keep that, you know. So
so here we are in your spot. We're trying to become a little bit more stereotypical, but we can't. Hanging out here in a vintage chair with a record player nearby. It just looks like a pretty chill place to play music. Is this just kind of comfort zone for you?
Very much, yeah. Every time I get off work or come home from band practice, I just put on one of the records and relax and just clear my mind. Or like I'm doing, you know, right now, usually in this chair right here, I'll just start writing, just start coming up with stuff. Even if I don't come with stuff, I'll, you know, it'll be an hour and a half, 2 hours long of me just picking around and singing gibberish. So my roommates are, you know, they don't mind it, which is a good thing. But there's, you know, I come up with some pretty weird things to kind of find a melody, but that usually gets scrapped afterwards. But, you know, as long as I have like a melody to write around, that's what is mainly important, is just finding the melody, and then I can write the lyrics to it.
Pack your bags, we're leaving in the morning. Found a way to travel back in town. With a crazy hair man who speaks in warning. He's a doctor who's gone out of his mind.
So as we're talking here, you're holding an acoustic guitar. But I've seen you play several times, and I know that you play more than one instrument.
Yes.
So, challenges and the rewards, whatever could go into that.
Well, being a multi-instrumentalist is that you're never bored. you know, if you're kind of getting sick of, you know, writing on the guitar, trying to figure something out there, I can switch over to the banjo and see if I can be creative with that, or the mandolin or the piano, or I'll hop on the electric guitar sometimes. And, you know, whenever I have it here, when it's not at the Leonard house, and I'll wail away on that. You know, it's just, it's really fun to be able to do that. I mean, I worked really hard to do it, and, you know, and I believe that anybody could do that stuff as long as they just like put their mind to it. But I think another big reason is that I don't really date a lot too. So I kind of just lock my way in my house and just play my music. If there's any ladies listening that like to date a hermit musician, let me know.
This region, this city of Paducah really is pretty rich with musicians, arts. I guess we advertise ourselves that way to the outsiders. And it's really true that there's a lot of arts to be had here in Paducah. Has being here influenced you in any way, being around these creative types or this region, been able to kind of lead you in a path or help you explore your creative side?
Yes, definitely. You know, I was living in California 5.5 years, and when I finally moved back, it was amazing because I didn't really like the lifestyle out in California, and, you know, I love this lifestyle. And I remember going to see Red Ember, one of their first shows, at JP's. I was just like, man, there's something going on here, man. I feel it.
Between three bands and your years of experience, I'm sure you've played many a show. Tell me about a show or two that stands out as maybe your most memorable gig.
All right. Leonard the Band, I really loved playing Terrapin Station for the first time with those guys. And like everyone was digging it. It was amazing. It was a small venue, you know, as everybody knows Terrapin Station, but it's awesome. It's one of the best venues to play. I love playing at Terrapin. And then when I was with Fat and Sassy, we played Burnstock that they had. And Bernie, I'm a huge Bernie guy. And so that was really fun to play, you know, for a good cause.
Tell me about some of your favorite covers.
Blues Run the Game by Simon and Garfunkel. I love covering that song. Lone Pine Hill by Justin Townes Earl. There's a lot of them, you know, but those are my top two favorites. Oh, and I like doing Paradise by John Prine. But, you know, like I said, there's a lot of them. I can name a bunch. You know, Ryan Adams, I love covering him. I love covering Amos Lee, Ray LaMontagne, Iron and Wine. Those really, like, whenever I'm doing solo stuff, I try to keep it with the songwriter cover. I don't like covering Free Bird, obviously. I don't like covering Simple Man. Everybody's always throwing out Wagon Wheel, and if you tip me enough, I'll do it. But I'm obviously going to put my own little spin on it.
How many songs are in your head right now that you could pull out and play?
Probably at least 90.
You can make a list of 90 songs and play them right now then.
I could.
So if you could have somebody cover one of your songs, who would you have cover your song, and which song would you choose?
Ooh. I like to hear, I wrote a song called Dr. Brown. It's about Back to the Future and, you know, going back in time and reliving good memories. I'd like to have John Prine sing it, just because, like, it's written in that kind of John Prine jokey, lighthearted sound, and I'd really like to hear John Prine cover it.
All right, Luke, why don't you tell us what song you want to close us out with, and talk to us just a little bit about why you chose that particular song.
This song's called Uncle Sam. I wrote it about a good friend of mine who came back from the military and or came back from Iraq and had PTSD, and you know, it sheds light on the effects of what war really does to people. So this is what that's about.
This has been Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. And I'm your host, Justin Lewis. You can find out more at WKMS.org. Thanks for listening.
Hey, dear mama, would you look at me? Got a first-class ticket for a trip overseas. Gave me a uniform, gave me a gun, gonna set up shop in the land of the sun. I'm gonna shoot everything that moves inside. I keep my eyes open all day and all night. Stand up tall and I'll never run, and I'll make it back home when my time is done. Hey, Uncle Sam, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing everything that I've been told. Hey, Uncle Sam, you made me who I am. Oh, Lord, thanks, Uncle Sam. Well, I dwelled in the desert for a year or so, and I seen a bunch of things that you never know. I seen close friends all go away, nightmares find a place to stay. So I hopped on a plane that's headed back west, to the people who used to know me best. When I land, I feel unknown in an old small town that I call home. Hey, Uncle Sam, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing everything that I've been told. Hey, Uncle Sam, you made me who I am. Oh, no, thanks, Uncle Sam. So damn hard to find a job, so I waste my days away on pills and pot. There ain't no need for a war machine in a quiet old town in Tennessee. And all I have are fool's regrets and a heavy decoration on the left of my chest. Everything I am, everything I was, left out there in the land of the sun. Hey, Uncle Sam, I've done everything I can. I've done everything that I've been told. Hey, Uncle Sam, you made me who I am. Oh, thanks, Uncle Sam. Ooh, thanks, Uncle.